The inspection robot shunted itself into another branch of the pipe, just like the one where Quiddenbach had found it back on the surface. The hammering of the suction pad slowed, quietened, and stopped, the machine ticking quietly to itself. We were in complete darkness and silence except for distant thunder-like sounds of superheated steam roaring through remote parts of the pipe network. I touched the hot metal of the pipe with the tip of my finger and felt the faintest of tremors. I hoped that it didn't mean there was a wall of scalding, 1,000-atmosphere steam slamming towards us. "It's still not too late to turn back," Quiddenbach said. "Where's your sense of curiosity?" I said, feeling like Sky Houseman goading Norquinko forwards. "About 8 kilometers above us, I think." That was when someone slid back a panel on the side of the pipe and looked at all three of us, as if we were a consignment of excrement someone had sent down from Chasm City. "I know you," the man said, nodding at Quiddenbach. Then he nodded once at me and once at Zebra. "I don't know you, and I certainly don't know you." "And I don't know you from shit," I said, getting my own word in before the man who had opened the pipe could get the edge over me. I was already heaving myself out of the robot, relishing the chance to stretch my legs for the first time in hours. "Now show me where I can get a drink." "Who are you?" "The man asking you for a fucking drink. What's wrong? Did someone seal up your ears with pig shit?" He seemed to get the message. I'd gambled that the man wouldn't be a major player in whatever operation was going on down here, and that a large part of his job description would consist of taking abuse from visiting thugs a little higher up the food chain.
"Hey, no offense, man."
"Retko, this is Tanner Mirabel," Quiddenbach said, "and this is Zebra. I phoned through to say we were on our way down to see Gideon." "Yeah," I said, "and if you didn't get the message, that's your fucking problem, not mine." Quiddenbach appeared impressed enough to want to join in. "That's fucking right, and get the man the fucking drink he asked for." He wiped a sleeve across his parched lips. "And get me one too, Retko, you fucking little cocksucker."
"Cocksucker? That's good, Quiddenbach. Really good."
The man patted him on the back. "Keep on taking the assertiveness lessons. They're really paying off." Then he looked at me with what was almost an expression of sympathy, a professional-to-professional thing.
"All right. Follow me."
We followed Retko out of the pipe room. His expression was difficult to read, since his eyes were hidden behind grey goggles sprouting various delicate sensory devices. He wore a coat patterned like Vadim's, but of shorter cut, its patches a little less rough and more lustrous.
"So, friends," Retko said, "what brings you down here?"
"Call it a quality inspection," I said.
"No one's complaining about quality that I hear of."
"Then maybe you haven't been listening too well," Zebra said. "The shit's getting harder and harder to track down."
"Really?"
"Yeah, really," I said. "It's not just the fuel shortage. There's a problem with purity. Zebra and I supply fuel to a portfolio of clients all the way up to the Rust Belt. And we're getting complaints." I tried to sound menacingly reasonable. "Now, that could mean a problem somewhere in the chain of supply between here and the Belt. There are a lot of weak links in that chain, and believe me, I'm investigating them all. But it could also mean the basic product is getting degraded, cut, watered, whatever you want to call it. That's why we're making this a personal visit, with Mr. Quiddenbach's assistance. We need to see that there's still such a thing as high-quality dream fuel being manufactured in the first place. If there isn't, someone's been lying to someone else, and there's going to be more shit hitting the fan than in a